Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up With Hope podcast. And it is August the 1st. We are in a brand new month. And I want you to expect miracles. I want you to step into this month expecting something new, because the number 8 is new beginning. And when you think about a new beginning, you think about God, because God always gives us new beginnings. Every day you have a new beginning. You wake up in the morning, it's a brand new day. And no matter what happened yesterday, you get a new beginning, because God is a merciful God. He forgives us. He cleanses us. He makes us new. So as we step into this month of August, I want you to expect something new. You know, I began the ministry in August, 25 years ago, and I had no idea the Lord would do what he did in the month, as far as all the miracles that took place when I stepped into the ministry. We were in 110 degrees in Dallas, in a heat wave, drought, pretty much like we're having right now. And God says, yeah, put up a tent and have a tent crusade. Okay. And who's going to come in the middle of August? But the Lord dropped the temperature. It was in the low 80s. He brought in the wind, 20 miles an hour. And it was phenomenal what happened. And it was just 2 days. But the Lord moved. And when God begins to do something, do you really think that whatever we're facing in the natural is going to stop the Lord? No matter what obstacle you have, whatever you're facing, it matters not. When the Lord begins to move, every obstacle is out of the way, because we have a mission to accomplish, and God is going to see to it that it happens if we just obey and have faith. So this morning, as we're stepping into a brand new month, I want you to expect miracles the month of August. And think about the number 8 and what it means to us. You know, the numerical value in the Greek of the name Jesus is, guess what? 888. If you were to take the name Jesus in the Greek, the numerical value is 888. And what is 888? It's a toll-free number. And as my dad would always say, Jesus is that toll-free number, meaning if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. And it doesn't cost you anything. You just have to call upon the name of the Lord. But don't you love that? 888. It's for the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. New beginning. Amen. All right, this morning, I wanted to just share a few thoughts from Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we read about Jesus being led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So you think about, can you even go a day without food? How hungry are you if you were to fast right now from breakfast, lunch, and by the time dinner gets here, you'll be starving. You'll be starving by lunchtime. Jesus is fasting, and it's been 40 days. So 40 days and 40 nights. And this is the beginning of his ministry. He hasn't preached a message, hasn't healed a sick person, hasn't cast out any devils, has done no signs or wonders. He is in the wilderness fasting and praying first. So if you think about Jesus in this wilderness, you know, after not eating, because remember, he was all God but all human as well. So in his humanity, he's hungry. And here comes the devil. You know, the devil always comes at your weakest moment. He always comes to tempt you to sin, to fail. So he's going to watch you and wait until your weakest moment, and then he's going to tempt you. So here he comes. Verse 3. And the tempter came and said, note what the first words are. Because Satan always questions everything. He questions everything. Remember in the garden? He comes on the scene. And what are his first words? Hath God said? Well, here are his first words to God himself. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. First words, question. Because Satan always questions God's word. And when you start questioning God's word, you're in trouble. Because then your mind is now aligned with the enemy. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Well, Satan himself knows, and he knew back then that Jesus is the Son of God. But in his humanity, he wants to have him question his identity. Are you really that? Prove it. Prove it by doing what I tell you to do. Note the response of our Lord. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So think about that. So the first words of the serpent from Eden to the Lord are posed in a question. If you are. And it's a question of identity. What do we have a problem with today? Identity. Everybody's got an identity problem. Look at the world. Are you a man or a woman? You don't know your identity. Are you straight or are you gay? Well, what are you? It's an identity problem. People want to go out there in the world and, you know, today if they think they're a man. Tomorrow if they think they're a woman. That's an identity crisis. People don't know who they are because the serpent has come to put a question mark in their mind. Has God really said this? Is this really who you are? And he does the same thing to the Lord. If you are, then do this and do that. If is the question. And how does God handle this question of identity? And maybe we should think about the fact that this is the answer for the identity crisis we're having in the world today. It is written. What is written? God's word is written. And the answer is in what is written. Now, note what the Lord says. It is written, man will not live by bread alone, but man will live by what? By the word. Every word. Not that proceeds from the mouth of the television media, but by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And whose mouth was speaking to the enemy right here? It was the mouth of God. The Lord himself, the word made flesh. Jesus was obviously hungry. In his flesh, he could have said, you know what? I'm starving, and I'm just going to go ahead and turn these stones into bread because I can, because I'm God and man, and as God, I've got the power to do it. As man, I'm hungry. But he doesn't give in to the tempter because he's hungry as the man. He stands there resisting the temptation and going to the word, which is greater. The food of the word is so much greater than the natural food. We don't live by just eating food. We live by the word of God. Now, this is something we need to listen closely to this morning. There are two dimensions right here that Jesus is talking about, the carnal and the spiritual, the natural and the supernatural. What you see and what you don't is the visible and the invisible. A plate of food would have been really great after 40 days of not eating. But there's food that's greater than that. To sustain you. Moses didn't have any natural food when he was on Mount Sinai. You think he carried up on the mount a sandwich and, you know, some figs? No. He goes up to the mount and for 40 days and 40 nights, he's not eating, he's not even drinking. Why? He was living by the word. Who was speaking to him on the mountain? The voice of God. And so he was surviving or being sustained by God's word, God's presence. And here we see again in these words of our Lord that you shall not live as a man by only bread. We live by the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the word that proceeds from the mouth of God is greater than the word. It's greater than the food you're eating in your mouth. Because the word of God is meat. It's manna. Manna from heaven in the tabernacle. The table of showbread stacked with the word really is what was happening. It's bread that was stacked made out of manna. Well, manna is the word, and we need to be stacked with the word. We need to be eating of Christ Jesus. We need to be meditating day and night. But the problem is, and the reason why we go for the man-made bread instead of the divine bread. The reason why people can't resist this temptation is because it's easier to fill the desires of the flesh than it is the spirit. It would be easier to just eat something for the Lord because he was hungry. But even in his humanity, he's disciplined enough to resist temptation and go by spirit. Because he is man as God intended man to be. And so if we want to look at the perfect man, we have to go back to Jesus. And so here we see the decision that he makes to go by the word, to live in the spirit. And every time you make a decision in the spirit, you'll defeat the enemy. Remember what I said in the triumph teaching. Satan, the serpent, crawls on what? The ground. And what does a serpent eat of? The dust of the ground. Well, if man is created from the dust of the ground in the image of God, when you behave in the carnal realm, you then allow the serpent to feed on your dust. But if you live in the spirit, there's no dust there he can feed on. Remember that. When we live in the flesh, act in the flesh, react in the flesh, the serpent can feed on us. But when we make decisions and live in the spirit, he can't. This is why you see carnal Christians everywhere, living in the flesh. They are not living by the word in the spirit. They're living by the word of the flesh. And we cannot produce anything of substance if we're living to please the carnal side. So a spiritual man or woman is going to be a man or woman who feeds on the word. Note that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by my word, the word that proceeds out of my mouth. Do you want to know where the word is that proceeds out of God's mouth? Get your Bible and open it. There's 66 books. Thousands of faith, thousands of words. And all of these words have proceeded out of the mouth of God. God's mouth is speaking through his word. Right now, I'm speaking to you from the mouth of God as I'm reading this word. I'm reading what Jesus said. And if we were to feed on this, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, we are going to be strong, have the energy of the Spirit, know how to overcome, never be defeated, know how to pray, know how to war, know how to walk in peace and love and joy in the Spirit. Because what? We are eating what is proceeding from the mouth of God. You know the old saying, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. What you feed on has everything to do with who you are. In the natural, what do you eat? What does a day look like for you? What does your diet consist of? Do you eat whatever your body tells you to eat? Or are you disciplined to eat what will benefit your temple in whom God dwells? You see, every day we make a choice of what food we eat in the natural. And we're either going to eat what looks good and what's tempting, and really we know it's not good for us, or are we going to eat the things that will make us strong and healthy? There's a big difference when you wake up in the morning from that person that is craving donuts and, you know, all the sweets and the pastries versus the person that's going to eat a healthy, well-balanced breakfast. Are we eating only what our body craves? Because this body is the body of the flesh. Or do we eat what is going to bring us health and strength? You see, you make a decision every day what you eat in the natural. And you also have to make a decision if you're going to eat the word that day as well. How much of the word are we really feeding on? How much are we really eating? How much are we really meditating on? Because today we're in a fast food type of eating society. We eat junk and we eat it fast. But it doesn't work that way with the word. There is no society that's going to change how you eat God's word. No matter how contemporary we are and how we have one-liners to keep people's little ADD attention span for 1 second, that is not going to cut it. And this is why we have a Christian society that is weak and sick. We are weak and sick in the spirit. We have no power because we do not eat of the word that is proceeding from the mouth of God. We're not spending time. We don't know our Bible. We don't meditate until it becomes life. You know, I can sit here and read the whole chapter of Matthew today, and then I can walk away getting a little glimpse of what Jesus did. But those who eat of the word can't just read through the Bible like that. You stop. You ponder. You meditate. And the Holy Spirit breathes until that word becomes real to you. And you may know the storyline, but you're getting a lot deeper in the storyline. Because the word of the Lord is what has to go deep within your being to sustain you when you're going through things. And you go back and you bring up that word and you meditate on it, and it begins to sustain you and feed you and set you free. It's the word. And if you want to defeat the devil, every time, you have to speak the word. You have to spend time in it. You have to know it. You have to be familiar and intimate with the word. And the word just isn't the written word. It's the living word. Because what is written becomes living on the inside of you. Just like eating good, wholesome food. That food brings life to your cells that are dying and resurrects them. Wholesome, good, organic foods will quicken those cells and bring them to life. Well, the Word of God is quickening you and bringing you to life. But you've got to eat of it. And when I say eat, I'm not talking about appetizer snacks. I'm talking about sitting down and getting into this word until that word gets into you. And if you live with that mindset and you begin to incorporate this in your life. There is no temptation that will come to you that you cannot conquer. How do we conquer the devil? How do we conquer temptation? There has to be a greater power than the temptation of the flesh. We conquer by the word. We conquer by the indwelling spirit. We conquer by living in that life of spirit and not fulfilling the flesh. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul writes that. So either we're going to make the decisions that will bring death by falling into temptation, or we are going to conquer by the Spirit. And it takes the Word of God to proceed out of the mouth. So again, let's go back and see what Jesus said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? The word has to proceed out of the mouth of God, and we know that word is the Bible. But the word has to proceed out of your mouth too. The word of God is what? It proceeds from the mouth of God. And the word of God has to proceed out of your mouth as well. Because how are you going to release what God is saying? God's word is alive. And when you speak it, it goes into the atmosphere. So just as the word has proceeded out of God's mouth, the word has to proceed out of your mouth. Mark 11:23, a very familiar passage of scripture. Hear the words of the Lord. Verily I say unto you, whosoever will say to this mountain, note that, say to the mountain. That means you have to speak something out. Be thou removed, cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll believe what you say, then you'll have it. Note the emphasis. Whosoever shall say to the mountain. That means something has to come out of your mouth. Whatsoever you say, if you believe, will come to pass. So right here, you have got to open up your mouth and speak to the mountain. Speak the word that God has spoken. What proceeds out of his mouth needs to proceed out of your mouth. Speak to the mountain. What is a mountain? Well, a mountain in your way is an obstacle. And we have many obstacles. Satan brings many things to stop us. And it's opposition. It could be a sickness, a disease, an affliction, someone coming against you, a circumstance, a situation you're facing. And it's a mountain. And the enemy thinks he's going to get you with this one. So what are you to do? Speak to it. Speak to it. Speak what? Speak God's word. Speak what has proceeded from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So now, what has proceeded out of the mouth of God needs to come out of your mouth. Speak to the mountain. And if you believe, what you speak, what you say, will come to pass. Why? Because it's God's word. You know, I was living in West Palm Beach and pursuing a modeling career in my very, very early 20s. And I started to get sick. And I didn't know what was happening to me. And I was still in the world trying to come out. But I remembered the scripture that my dad taught me. And I remember one day, I drove down this dead-end street, and I could see the ocean. I was in my car parked, and I said, well, Lord, your word says in Mark 11:23, to speak to the mountain. And I did. I decided I was going to speak to this sickness that I was starting to feel. And I looked at the ocean and I said, sickness, be gone from me. I speak to this mountain of sickness and I cast you into the sea. And I'm looking at the ocean. And I'm quoting that verse. And I'd come day after day and I'd say the same thing. I'd look at the ocean. Sickness, you'd be cast into the sea. Well, nothing happened. I got worse. Because in those days, I was just saying this out of fear. I needed to be healed, but I wasn't really meditating. I wasn't really thinking about what I was saying. I was just saying it because I needed to be healed, and I was by the ocean, and I was telling this thing to go. Now, I said that with my mouth, and nothing happened. I got worse, and so bad that I had to come back home to Dallas and suffer for 2 years. But do you know what happened? That verse became real to me, and the depth of what that meant became a reality through my sickness. And then I understood what God was really saying and how I had to have faith. See, I was saying it without faith. And I had to continue to speak it. But you know what happened after the end of 2 years? The mountain was removed into the sea. The sickness was removed. And I did receive my healing. And I continued to speak it because the word of the Lord has power. But I had to say it. Say it over and over and believe it and let it be a part of me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds of the mouth of God. And we read it. It's proceeded out of his mouth. Now he's saying, you need to have it proceed out of your mouth. We don't live a silent life. We live declaring God's word. That word has to proceed out of our mouth. And that's how we will always defeat the enemy. Blessed be his name. So I want you to think about this today. As we're in a brand new month, the number 8, new beginning. Every time you open your mouth, is the word of God proceeding, depending on that circumstance? Because you're going to face something all the time. What happens when you go through something? Is it the word of God coming out of your mouth or your words? When Satan comes to tempt you, do you give in to what your carnal flesh wants? Or do you give in to what the Spirit says? Because the word of God is what's coming out of your mouth. We will not live by what we see. You see, the problem here was, you see those stones? Go ahead and turn them into bread, because I know you're hungry. If you are who you say you are, you see those stones over there? Turn them into bread. So Satan was working on what he saw in the natural and what he felt in the natural. Satan is always going to work on what you see and how you feel. Never forget that. When you see something, it makes you feel a certain way. He's always going to work on what you see and what you feel. So you've got to protect what you see and protect how you feel. Because what you see has everything to do with how you feel. And we've got to come back to getting beyond the realm of carnality in what we see and the realm of the soul and how we feel, and live by the word of God. Not by how you feel, but by what he says. Not by the flesh, but by the spirit. That's the true overcomer. The man or woman of God who doesn't give in to the serpent's words, but stands on the word of God and lets that proceed out of their mouth. Because that is their meat. That is their food. That is what they feed on. Blessed be his name. Who would think that an entire message could come out of just one verse with a few lines? But the word of God has oceans of truth if we just meditate and read. That is where your answer lies. And that is where your strength is. It's in his word. And I want you to take time to feed on it. Meditate. Take your cell phone and put it in the garage so you can't hear it. And get alone with God and remove out every distraction. And listen, because he's always speaking. The word that proceeds out of his mouth, it's right here in this Bible. Listen, he is speaking, and he has something to say to you. And what God has to say will be the power to defeat the enemy in your path every time. But we've got to listen. And get alone. Jesus was alone 40 days and 40 nights. His ears were tuned to the Spirit. And he knew how to defeat his enemy. Those who spend time alone know how to defeat the enemy. Blessed be his name. It's not by might, nor by the power of anything in this dimension. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Because the word of God is spirit breathed, and it will always prevail if you use it in every circumstance, in every situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I want to remind you that our 25th gala is coming up August 13th, and I want you to come. Even if you've been going back and forth with the thought, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me in my times of prayer, and something powerful is going to happen at this gala. There's going to be a release of something new in the Spirit, and I want you to be there. We've had someone donate some free tickets. They're almost all gone, but then we have more free tickets that just happened here over the weekend. So something is happening that God is providing now free tickets for people to come. I mean, this is a $50 ticket. So I want you, if you've not gotten your tickets yet, to go and tell your friends that we have a few free tickets remaining and get them to this gala. But you've got to email me today, contact@SharonBoland.com. contact@SharonBoland.com if you want a free ticket. It's very important because they're limited, but God is working a miracle right now, and He's providing these extra tickets. So I want you to take advantage of them, and I want you to come. God is going to do something on a scale we have not experienced before. It's going to be a fantastic time of fellowship, food, gifts. It's going to be awesome. But there's going to be a time of ministry in which God is going to do something. Mark my words. And it's going to be an experience that we all need. So all the information can be found at SharonBoland.com. But I want to see you there. It's going to be a phenomenal time. Meditate on the word that was given today, because it is the word of God. And spend time, because He wants to touch you and speak to you. Have a wonderful day, everybody. The Lord bless you.